All right. So we all, you're very good in the promises. You know. Do you notice you know all these promises? The problem is, and that's the ultimate reconciliation mentality, is we believe we'll get it, right?
Mm.
Do you believe you'll get it?
Hopefully.
Yeah, everyone believes they'll get it. Are you sure you'll get it?
Mm.
Mm-hmm. That's healthy. That's healthy. You know, it's hard not to be so sure. So, the idea is, we believe we will kind of get it, no matter what. That's the concept. No matter what. It means God says, you can have it if. Give me some scripture from Bible to see whether I'm correct.
He that overcometh shall.
Okay? So, wait a minute. Are you saying that he that doesn't overcome shall not? Are you sure? Come on, Ruby. Don't you know God is merciful? He's loving. He's forgiving. I mean, he knows I would have if I... Does it work? So you're telling me if I don't overcome, I will not. All right. What else? What else is there in the Bible?
Seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all other things will be added unto you. I'm not sure.
That's a good one, but it's not exactly...
Yeah.
You feel it in yourself, don't you?
Yeah, I felt it.
All right. No, don't... That's, what else? What else is there? What about the two... String arrow? What does it say? How does it go?
Wide is the gate? Question.
The least of destruction, he said.
Yeah, that's the
broad
way.
Broad is the way. Broad is the gate. And broad is the way that leads to destruction.
And many people find it. And then there's wide is the gate.
And straight is the
path.
Path. The least of... It's in life, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's in Matthew 8.
And everybody finds it, right?
Yeah. No, not everyone. A few be that find it.
A few?
Many are called.
Many are called, but few are chosen. It's becoming dangerous, guys. Because that's, I think, what you are trying to say is kind of exclusively the gospel. Like, you're excluding people out. You're saying only few will get there. Are you sure about it?
Yes, so the Bible says.
I know it's what the Bible says, but is it what the Bible means? Huh? If the Bible says it, it should mean it. What's the consequence for us? I mean... We say there's a promise, but we say few find it, you know, few are chosen. So it means there is a process of selecting, process of choosing. All right, so how does it go? Because I'm interested. I'm interested to know if there's a promise, and I want the promise. We all have agreed, everybody agreed, because, by the way, if you are not interested in the promise, you're free to leave. I will not get offended. You say, well, actually, I'm here by mistake. I thought it's about something else. So you can take time, go to lobby, have a tea, you know, go out. Because that's a waste of time. I mean, if we are going to speak about how to get somewhere where you don't want to get, you know. So the basic question is, can I double check? Can I see your hand again? Raise your hand that, yes, I want, that's what we want. eternal life, you know. So now the question is, if there's a process to get there, if there's selective in the process, if only few find it, how do you know that you find it? How do you know you walk it? How do you know you're selected? And if not, you know, we shouldn't be deceived and believe that even if I don't walk it, I'll get there anyway. I would like to tell you, the Bible clearly says you will not obtain it. You can miss the eternal life. You can be, well, can you pray and prophesy and doing things and still miss it?
Oh yeah, the scripture.
Are you sure?
Matthew 8.
What is it?
I think it's Matthew 8. I read it last night.
7?
7, 8, yeah.
7, 5, 4, 5, 5. Well, it's close.
That's good. I read it last night.
It's a, well, I hope it is. Well, I might get embarrassed. Oh no, it's 7:32.
Many will say to me in that day, okay, who are they? Right here.
Christians.
Well, let me see. You help me. Many, I know many, will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord. Who are they?
Christians.
Is it Christians?
Children of God.
Isn't it these people outside in the bar? Okay, let me continue to resolve this. Lord, Lord. That sounds like Christians, but maybe these people will at the end say Lord, Lord. So let's see. Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? It must be Christians. Catholics? Do Catholics prophesy?
No.
No.
Oh, why? Baptists?
No.
They don't believe in prophecy. I mean, some people from our churches. I should. Our fellowships. That can't be true. I believe just by being in a fellowship, that brings me there, right? I mean, I've got parents. I don't, but you have parents who believe. That surely should secure you some first class seat in the heavens. No? Ruby, I mean, your father's a chichota. You need to go to God and say, I mean, God, do you think that it'll do? I have prophesied in your name. You know, they must be surely baptized in the Holy Ghost, right?
Yes.
Or am I reading it wrong? Tell me, help me. Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils? Is there anybody who has prophesied in his name? Who has prophesied? You haven't prophesied?
No.
Oh, yeah. All right. I know you have. I know something you have. Come on. Have you cast out devils in his name?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so you have rebuked the devil and you've seen the devil leave. Some of you are not so sure, but that's not the thing necessarily, but it's kind of showing certain non-basic Christianity, isn't it? Alright. And in thy name done many wonderful works, miracles. Have you done many miracles? Alright, I mean, come on, that should surely give them a first class seat.
Yeah.
Don't you think? One would think so. You know, and then will I profess unto them, says Jesus, I never knew you. I never knew you. I never did. Depart from me, he that work iniquity. Doesn't it scare you? They should. It scares me. Because it takes away the ultimate reconciliation mentality. At least it should. It takes away the thought, just because I'm a Christian, or I am of the Christian culture, just because I am attending church, just because I'm sitting in this meeting, that's giving me the license. And it should bring the sobering question to the Lord. If there's few who find it, am I one of those? And how do I know? What is the thing that makes us believe that we are where we think we are? Based on what? Jesus says, I never knew you. What's the word, never knew? What does it mean, know somebody?
You've not had a relationship with them?
Yeah, you have a relationship. Very good. That's what you wanted to say? Alright. So, the question now is, what about your relationship with Christ? Alright, we have a tabernacle, right? What is tabernacle talking about?
A walk with Christ.
Us, huh?
Oh.
Journey?
To salvation.
Journey to salvation? Well, salvation is a little more complicated, because you are saved in the beginning. And by the way, we are, in a way, you can be saved, but saved miserably, in a sense of, you know, that's the only thing you get, little star in a corner, and nothing else. You can become the mature Son of God. But you can make it. You can be like the thief on the cross and on the last minute, say, God save me, forgive me, and He will. Alright? But that's the thing which is deceiving Christians. Because A, they don't realize they can lose the salvation. You know, they live life and they live it so recklessly, they don't realize they can lose salvation. And you know what? The sad story is, and the Bible says it clearly, there will be people, and Christians we are talking about, and I believe that includes people from the Holy Ghost baptized environment. It includes these people who will be surprised at their day. And they should be surprised. I would rather ask to be a little surprised today than on that day when the judgment comes. You know. And we will try to present things that have no value, like the parents' walk. You know, it has value for them, but I cannot present somebody else's walk. I cannot present my participation, my presence in the church. None of this is what God counts. So this is journey, and again, I can say the journey is here to the Holy of Holies, right? And this is the holy place. Amen.
Amen.
And this is the outer court. And this is what?
Yeah. The wilderness.
The world? Or wilderness, if you wish. Alright. Now the question is, and do you ever ask yourselves, where am I? Huh? Yeah? So where are we? I mean, we have the different places. How do we know that we are at different stages? Who believes it's on a Holy of Holies? You don't? You think you are?
By faith.
By faith. Oh. By faith. All right. I was married by faith when I was very young. So then it happened. So in a way, that's how you are in Holy of Holies. But let's say in actuality. Alright? In actuality, who is in Holy of Holies? None of us? Alright. Who believes in the holy place?
sometimes.
Not Holy Place Church.
Who's it, who, do you think you're in the Holy
but
Place?
But Holy Place.
Do you think you're in the Holy Place where you are? Like in your walk with Christ, do you think you're in the Holy Place? I mean, be handle.
Tell me, based on what? Based on what you think you would be in a holy place. How do I know? There's a person, and he comes and says, I'm in a holy place. Okay.
You can tell by
their fruit.
By their character.
By their fruit.
All right. Like what?
Love, joy, peace.
Love, joy, peace. Yeah, we heard it. Right? All right. Let me rephrase the question. Who is bearing fruit? Love, joy, peace, long suffering, kindness, meekness.
Sometimes.
So if we don't, we are not in, are we?
No.
We shouldn't be deceiving ourselves, right?
Yes.
All right. What else is in the holy place?
Table of shewbread.
Which means?
You're feasting on the word of God.
All right. We are feasting on the word of God.
Yeah.
How does that work?
You meditate and you spend time with God in the word as you read the Bible.
Spend time with God in the word. Read your Bible.
Study the word. Show yourself approved.
All right. Good scriptures. All right. Living with the word. How can I mention that? Living with the word. What does it do?
Living by the word.
You know, don't give me phrases. Okay, these are all good phrases, but unless I know what to do in my real life, I cannot use it.
She probably means living by the word.
She means living by the word.
I think so.
And that means?
That means living each day by the word of God.
And that means?
That means walking in the footsteps of God, like using the scripture as a map, as a guideline for you to live your life.
And it means? Okay, let's say I'm a believer. Let's say I'm somebody who doesn't understand the language. And you tell me, you know, you need to live by the word. Help me. You say you need to take every step by God. Help me. And you tell me, use it as a map. Help me. I need to be more practical. I mean, I've got a problem. I go to school, I need to catch a bus, and I don't know how my Bible is helping me to catch my bus. You know what I mean? I'm trying that we would not be using these things, religious talk, which does not make it practical to our catching bus experience.
Well, the Bible says love your neighbor as yourself.
Love my neighbor as myself, alright?
Yeah. So, if you do, then that's an example of living by the
way. Who's my neighbor?
Everyone around.
Everyone around. Can you be more specific?
Like who? People you meet at school. Maybe.
People I meet at school.
In the fellowship.
In the fellowship. Family. You mean parents?
Parents.
Oh, okay. You mean siblings?
Yeah.
Is it that serious?
Yeah.
People that do me wrong?
Yeah.
I don't think so. I think they must be excluded.
No.
Oh, wow. All right. So you tell me, if I don't love my parents, if I don't love my siblings, if I don't love the people, well, okay, what does it mean to love?
Love is kind. Love is gentle.
So you're saying, if I'm not gentle to my siblings, if I'm not kind to my siblings, you know, that's what I'm trying to translate it for you. You know, because we sometimes hide behind, you know, these very good religion abstract words, and we don't realize that we are in jeopardy of losing out on the promise by acting a certain way. So it means if you are not kind and gentle, for example, to your siblings, if you're not kind and gentle, let's say, and long-suffering and peaceful with your parents or at school, you know what I mean? That means You might be fooling yourselves. What do you think? You think I'm taking it too far? So, alright. So we are feeding on the Word. Alright. Feeding on the Word is reading the Word, reading the Bible. How much reading the Bible?
Daily.
Hourly. Weekly. Studying the Word. Well, the main thing is you need to love the Word. Love it, like it, enjoy it. It's not that someone tells you you should, but it's something you want to do. You know what I mean? You know the scriptures, you like to study, you have a minute. And you say, I wonder what that says. I like it. You know, I notice many of you like the Word a lot because you spend a lot of time with it. You have mobiles, and I'm sure you have installed your Bibles there, right? Because I see all the time clicking on the mobile, so you must be reading your Bible. No? Am I mistaken? I am. Oh, well, what I mean is, you like your mobiles, right? Nobody needs to tell you. You don't need parents or somebody to tell you, well, you need to use your mobile, you need to use your mobile more. You know, have you used your mobile already today?
Yeah.
You know, this morning, don't forget your mobile. You don't need to be told, right? It's so automatic. You know, you kind of go and pull it out and it's something you like. It's something which you enjoy. It's something what you do. You know, you have relationship with it. And via it, you have relationship with others. And if you have relationship, if you like it, nobody needs to tell you. How often do you should use a mobile? The question is ridiculous, isn't it? How often? I mean, daily? At least once a day? You say, well, why not ask this? I use it all the time. I don't mind it. I like it. And if I could, if I have a spare time, I mean, if I'm waiting for a bus, what do you do? Isn't it so?
Yes.
Tell me.
It's true.
Alright, and now, the question is, and be frank to yourself, don't answer me, answer yourself. When you're waiting for a bus and say, I've got nothing better to do, Brother Martin. I mean, what do you want me to do? I'm sitting there, so I'm saying hello to my friends and doing things and playing and doing these things. I have nothing else to do. I have time. And then I ask you, do you have time to read Bible? No, I don't. I'm busy because of school. Isn't it so?
Yes,
we are fooling ourselves. We are deceiving ourselves. And that's the trouble, because we believe we will get it anyway. No, we will not. It's in the same way as if I want to win a medal in a running or in some sports, and they tell me, yeah, but you have to every morning wake up and do these things. No, I don't want it, but I still want to win. You will not. You can't without exercise. You can't without doing the previous things. And I don't want you to be deceived. I don't want you to come and say, well, I think I am, you know, in a holy place. The question is, how often times when you are waiting for a bus, if you wish, or when you are sitting in a corner and you have it in your hand, how often is it the Bible that you are using compared to other things? Answer yourself and answer me. Because I know the answer anyway. It's not very often, is it? It's not that you would say, well, I have a 15 minutes, I have a half hour, I can surely read the chapter, I can surely double check the scripture from Matthew 27:22, I can surely go and click whether it's the right word, and I can surely search in the Bible whether it doesn't say something else, and I can find other scriptures. I wonder, and I have a neighbor or I have a schoolmate I wanted to testify about, and he's a Catholic and he's telling me this about Mary. Let me find out. Let me do this. And I need to, yes, finally, I have a half hour. I can study, I can do something. It's not the case, is it? At least not very often. And then it is, you know, and praise the Lord. But it's not that you have to. We have to move from the mode of I have to, we should. As a Christians, we should. Must, cannot. You know what I mean? So the idea is, being in a holy place, reading the Word of God, loving the Word of God, knowing the Word of God, not when you are in a youth conference or youth meeting, but when you are alone. So grab the Word and use it and work with it without being told, without being encouraged by somebody else. This is feeding on Christ in a holy place. What about bringing light? Somebody walks to you and you lead him by your life, by your example, you lead him to righteousness. You can say, follow me as I follow Christ. Then you are in a holy place. You know what I mean? Alright. The outer court. That's easier, isn't it? So where are we? Are we in the outer court? Who believes is at least in the outer court? Alright. Being at least in the outer court. Alright. How do we know a person who is at least in the outer court? He's living his life to Christ. Okay, he's given his life to Christ. And again, I pretend I'm an unbeliever and I don't know what you mean. He has given his life to Christ.
He confessed that he will follow Christ.
He will follow Christ.
Yeah.
Okay, help me again. Translate it for me. Something practical. Huh?
He confesses his sins.
He confesses his sins. All right. What is sin exactly?
Anything that does not please
Deathless.
God. Anything that does not please God. All right. So it means you do something which is wrong, and you confess it. You don't hide it. You don't live with it yourself. All right. So it means one of the things that people do who are at least on the outer court. Okay. What is it? You don't hide your sins. You don't hide the things you do wrong, but you deal with them. Amen?
Amen.
So if you're hiding things, if you're hiding your sins and you don't deal with them, you might not be even at the outer court, right? So, what else is on the outer court?
Brazen labor, which speaks of you've been baptized by the Holy Spirit. You've been baptized in water, which is like declaring to everyone you know that you will follow Jesus for the rest of your life.
Okay.
And that you're dying to yourself and being resurrected into Christ.
So die to yourself and be resurrected into Christ. Okay. And if any other baptism?
By the Holy Spirit.
Okay. And baptism into Christ.
And baptism into fire.
And in a fire, which is Holy Ghost and fire.
Okay.
Alright. So, what I'm saying is, if you are baptized, the word baptized sounds again very religious to me. What is baptized?
Immersed.
How immersed?
Hopefully.
Huh?
Fully immersed.
Fully immersed. Alright, only you have so many good words. Fully immersed. So, this is a glass of water, right? I don't know what I have to immerse not to spoil the water. So, you have to use your imagination, alright? I've got you. Alright? How do I immerse you? Put you in. In somewhere here. So now you're somewhere in the middle of the glass. Alright, you don't see it, but here you are. So the water is above you. Left, right, front, back, below. It's like an English lesson. Above, below, and all these things. Alright. I'm starting with the water. That's the easy part everybody does. Because it's easy. You know why it's easy? It takes 2 minutes. You just get wet. You know, so who is baptized in the water? So you're baptized in the water, right? Immersed. Down there. Come up. Well, and that must be a decision are saying, I want to be immersed. How many baptisms there are in the Bible?
Three.
Yeah, there's one. There's just one. Yeah, there's just one. There's one God. And one baptism, the Bible says in Hebrews, doesn't it?
Okay.
Yeah. So there's one baptism. Which one is it? The Bible says there's just one baptism. Or let me ask a different question. You said there's one God. Which one is it? Is it Jesus?
The three forms.
Or is it the Father? Or is it the Holy Ghost? Yeah, but yeah, sure. Three now, and I'm saying there's one God.
Yeah.
What about three. You? How many of you there is? One? Are sure there's only one? Ah, so you are the body, and you are the spirit, and you are the soul. But still you. Only one of you. Alright. So that's the same thing with the baptism, isn't it? You cannot have one baptism and not have the other one, correct? So in other words, if you are not baptized, don't worry, just resolve it. I can wait. Are you okay? So if you are not baptized in Christ, if you don't intend to be baptized in Christ, are you baptized at all?
No.
If you don't intend to be baptized in the Holy Ghost, are you baptized in the water?
No.
No, you can't be.
No.
So what is it? Now explain it, because it's more difficult. What is it to be baptized into Christ? Because this is the outer core, friends. This is the outer core. We are talking about the outer core. What is to be baptized into Christ? How can I imagine it? Huh? Speak up. Don't worry. In the worst case, you'll be wrong. That's okay. I'm wrong all the time. Like last year, I was wrong. Be in the Christ, but I'm unbeliever. So if I am imagining being in the Christ, Christ for me is Jesus Christ. So he comes, and I somehow have to get into him, and I don't know how to, since he's not here. So I need to be in Christ, get into Christ. But I mean, who is baptized into Christ? Tell me. You are?
Okay.
How did you do it? Huh? You don't know. I believe you don't know. I think most of us don't know exactly. Is it? You know, because we take things just because they are said, they're around us, you know. We don't spend the time to meditate and wonder. We don't ask ourselves these questions sometimes. We just take it for granted, isn't it? Because that's what we say in the church, so we take it, and then, you know, what we need, I feel, what we need sometimes, we need to be challenged. The problem is these schools today, they don't care to challenge us. You know, they don't change, and we don't challenge each other sometimes by asking. We don't challenge the parents, asking them, well, you say to be baptized in Christ, but how do I do that? How do I would like to, you know. What do you...
I'm confused. When you say baptized into Christ, yeah, that's baptism by fire, right? Because I believe that's water baptism.
Yes, I believe
baptism by the Holy Spirit, and then there's baptism by Christ himself. So I'm thinking...
By Christ himself?
Yeah, that's the baptism by fire. Right, is that what you're talking about?
No. Right. I'm talking about that there are kind of three levels of baptism.
Yeah.
Baptism in water, mm-hmm. which is done by man.
Yeah.
Right? Baptism of Holy Ghost and fire, which is done by Christ. And then baptism into Christ, which is done by the Holy Ghost. That's Corinthians 12, I believe. You want to look into it? Okay. That's the fullness of baptism. Is it Corinthians 12? If not, it'll be close. Is it? If you know the scripture, tell me. 12:13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body.
For right.
So baptism in the body. Baptism in the body of Christ. First Corinthians.
Oh, First Corinthians.
12:13. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body. That's the one I mean. So if you're baptized into Christ, you're baptized in the body. Now, if I use the water, how are you? How do you get baptized into Christ?
Get immersed by His Word.
Huh?
Get immersed in His Word.
Get immersed in His Word. No, that would be baptism into the Word.
Oh.
And that makes sense. I can imagine we need to be immersed, you know, and immersed in the Word of God. Yes, that's right, but that's not this. So what else? So you take a bottle, you fill it with water, and then you take a jar and put the glass in the jar. So you say it's outside as well as inside. Alright. But tell me practically. For today, I want to be baptized into the body of Christ. What should I do? Make confession and say that I'm ready to follow Him.
All your heart.
With all my heart.
Yeah.
Well, that brings me to salvation, I believe, but that doesn't bring me to be baptized in the Holy, in a Holy Ghost, neither in the body of Christ. You need to speak up, friends. Listen to what he says. That makes sense, it's close to it, but imagine, I need to be immersed, I need to be baptized. So, I know how to be baptized in the water. I understand that, it's simple, I've done it. I asked somebody to put me into the water, the water was all around me, and then I said, please, would you be so kind, and also take me out of the water. Alright, so I was immersed, I was put into the water, alright, and I understand that. We all have done it, or most of you have done it, right? But now the question, and did you notice, by the way, we are kind of working ourselves to the out of court, and we are not even certain about our position in the out of court about being baptized in the body. Did you notice how we are kind of working backwards a little bit, and realizing we are not even sure whether we are baptized in the Christ, in the body of Christ, because we are not even sure what exactly it is. And I would like us to, you know, not be deceiving ourselves by thinking because we are around things, it happens to us. You know what I'm saying? All right. So if I would, if somebody comes, I would imagine child would say, you know, child would say, well, I'm standing and I would have the body of Christ all around me. You know, I would have, and who is the body of Christ, by the way?
Yeah.
Us?
Mm-hmm.
It should be, right?
Yeah.
So if you want to be fully immersed into the body of Christ, right, it means you are in the middle of the other members of the body, right? Isn't it so?
Yeah.
So, but immersed, it means you are fully there. And then when the body moves, what do?
You move.
You move. When it stops?
You stop.
When it jumps?
You jump.
When it doesn't jump? You know what I'm saying? You are not doing your own things. If you want to have your own life, if you want to say, well, you keep jumping, but I'm sitting. You keep sitting, but I'm jumping. You're not baptized. You're not immersed. You're not full in it. You know what I mean? And that's the thing we need to consider. You have to decide what you want. Do I want to be immersed? Do you believe in baptism of sprinkling? You know what sprinkling is?
Yeah.
You know, they take water and they sprinkle somebody. Why it's wrong? What's wrong on that?
It's not scriptural.
Okay, it's not scriptural. What else?
You're not immersed.
You're not immersed. And it means, because there's just one baptism, it means it would apply for all the other baptisms. You could be sprinkled with the Holy Ghost. And sprinkled with the body of Christ. Some of us are baptized by sprinkling of Holy Ghost, or by sprinkling of the body. That's the sometimes, you said. Sometimes I'm in, sometimes I'm part of the body, sometimes I do what the head tells me to do, and sometimes I'm doing my own things. I'm not fully in it. I'm not fully participating. You know what I'm saying? It's you know, when there's something happening, I am sometimes in, sometimes out. Sometimes I'm paying attention, sometimes I am not. Sometimes I'm praying, sometimes I'm not. I'm not part of the business. I'm not part of the body. I'm not involved. I'm not praying. I'm not interested. I'm not interested in my neighbor. You know, I'm in the body. If I have a problem in the body, which sometimes one has, don't you? Don't you have a bellyache or headache or knee or something? You know, the whole body is kind of aware of it and doing something to overcome it, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
If you are not baptized in the body, it doesn't matter to you. You don't care. It's none of your business. You know, your neighbor in the church is suffering, and you do all your own things. It doesn't matter. You know what I mean? Being baptized in the body. I tell you one little story about one little girl, which I believe is kind of showing us. It's about your mother, by the way. Okay. She came, it's my little Lisa. We came here, you know, and she's looking around all the time. And she says, Where's Stephanie? You know, I said, well, they're coming, she'll even meet her, you know. And then she sees her, and she says, oh, here she is. Oh, she looks good. You know, we need to pray for her. You know what I mean? She's concerned, she's interested, she wants to know, because that's her body. She's understanding that's her part. You know what I mean? How are you doing? How's my brother? How's my sister? Your sibling is your body. Your parents are your body. You know, so to be baptized, to be immersed into the body of Christ is that it's your own flesh. It's your interest for the body to be doing well. You do all your effort like you would do to yourself. You do to the body. What do you think? Is there some space for you to pray and improve?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what I want to say, and we are kind of on the, we are still on the outer core. Even the salvation. You know, do you know there's an altar, and there's yet another altar? Do you know there's a story about somebody importing an altar from Damascus? Did you hear the story? No? It's a false altar. It's a false altar. It was a king. Which one king was it? Or Mark? You remember the king's name by heart? Not sure. Possibly. Alright. And he went to Damascus. And he's seen an altar there.
Okay.
And he's looking at the altar. Right. And he's saying, well, I like it. But it definitely wasn't the altar of God. And then he said, he called a priest, you know, sent him text message, I suppose. And say, listen, I want you to build me the same altar and do replace the altar in the tabernacle. And so take the altar which is there and push it into the corner. Push it into the corner. Do you know what it is? It's false salvation.
So the king Ahab is the second king 16:10.
Second king 16:10. King Ahab. You want me to read it? The scriptures? Well, let's go for it. Second Kings. Honey?
16:10.
And King Ahaz went to Damascus to meet, oh no, to meet him. This guy. King of Tiglath. Yeah, exactly him.
No, Assyria.
Yeah. Assyria. And so an altar that was at Damascus, and King Ahaz sent to Uriah, the priest, the fashion of the altar and the pattern of it according to all the workmanship thereof. And it says, I like it. And Uriah the priest built an altar according to all that King Ahaz had sent from Damascus. So Uriah the priest made it against King Ahaz came from Damascus. Okay. And when the king was come from Damascus, the king saw the altar, and the king approached the altar and offered thereon. And he burned his burnt offering and his meat offering and poured his drink offering and sprinkled the blood of his peace offering upon the altar. That's exactly what they are supposed to do. All the offerings they were supposed to be doing there, and he did it on the wrong altar. What is altar representing? No, what is altar representing? Oh. In the tabernacle. What is altar representing? Salvation? Yes, it is. So there is a false altar in the church. Do you know what is typical, or do you know how is the real altar called?
Brazen altar.
Brazen altar, isn't it? And he brought also the brazen altar which was before the Lord from the forefront of the house, from between the altar and the house of the Lord, and put it on the north side of the altar. It means put it on a side, push it to the corner. So what does it mean to have a brazen altar? What is the meaning of brazen altar? Judgment? Judgment of what?
Sin.
Judgment of sin? What does it mean, judgment of sin? You say it's wrong.
Amen.
It means it's wrong. And not only is wrong, but the judgment and the condemnation is, because of it is wrong, the penalty is death. That's the judgment. The judgment is very clear. Everybody has departed from the glory of God. Whether you are born in a Christian home or not, everybody has departed, right? How do you even get saved? What is the thing that you get saved? Compared to the people from the world?
Sin.
Huh?
Sin.
Sin? Now how do you get saved? That's the question.
You confess that those things that you confess are wrong, and that they'll lead, if I continue to do them, they'll lead me to death. And so you ask God for forgiveness.
Okay.
For doing those things, committing those things.
Alright, let me ask you a question. I believe there's a false salvation. There's a false altar. What do you think is the false salvation? Give me an example of false salvation. How is it? How does that happen? Huh?
You say a prayer and nothing changes.
You say a prayer and nothing changes. What kind of prayer? Salvation prayer, right?
Mm-hmm.
How does the salvation prayer go? Huh? How does it work? Tell me. What are the churches teaching about salvation prayer? You don't know? you come and you become convicted, or somebody comes and you want to give your life to Jesus Christ. So you go and you're led and you say the right words, the right prayer. Lord, I'm sorry I was living my own life, and I pray that you would take my life and forgive me my sins. Something like this, shorter or longer version, right? Yes, I used it for sprinkling other things. Thank you. So the idea is that many people and many churches, which can include even us, falsely believe they are saved because on the day so and so they have prayed a particular prayer. You know what I mean? And they will come to God, to the judgment seat with confidence based on that prayer. And the Lord will say, you know, say hello, and say, hey, I'm saved. And so let me see if I find you in the book of life. What's your name? And they'll tell the name, and he'll listen. He'll say, I'm sorry, I don't have you. Oh, it must be a mistake. I have here my Bible. And in my Bible, I have written when I was 7 years old. There's the date. I actually don't remember it exactly, but I know it happened, and it was 16th of October, 1982, you know, and this is the prayer I said, so you must find me there. Keep looking. I'm not joking. This is the mentality. This is the ultimate reconciliation. This is the mentality of people believing that regardless of their life, regardless of what we do, regardless of how I behave, I'm saved because this is the prayer I have said. There are many people in the church who are deceived. You know, the people in the world have a better chances sometimes for salvation than the people in the church. You know why? Because in the world, they are not deceiving themselves that they are saved. They know they are not saved. They know if you go to the world and explain to people in the bar and ask them, where are you? They will tell you very clearly, well, I'm here. And some of them say, no, I'm proud of it. You know, some would say, well, I'm here. And if they believe the story, they say, I better do something about it. But the problem is, because of being in the church and growing in the church, you can very well believe I'm here or here. I doubt you think you are here, but anyway, you know, I'm here or here, while some of the brethren, some of the people, some of the children, some of the youth can be actually even outside the tabernacle, deceiving ourselves that because, you know, on the day so and so I have said a prayer, that immediately makes me inside and I will be saved. But God clearly says, depart from me, I never knew you. You workers of iniquity, he's not going to be deceived. You know, we come and there are quite a few stories where we want to present to God and say, hey, listen, we've got it. You know the story, do we know the story of the 10 virgins? 5 foolish, 5 wise. Both of them are Christians, like, isn't it true?
Mm-hmm.
How do I know they are Christians?
Virgins.
Huh?
Virgins.
A, they are virgins. And B, they're waiting for the Lord. They're waiting for the Lord. And yet, 5 of them are wise, 5 of them are foolish. Again, why don't we now split into 2 groups? One group, those who believe are the wise virgin. And the other group, those who believe they are the foolish virgins. You want to do that, or rather not?
No.
You can answer yourself, how do I know I'm the wise or I'm the foolish virgin? How do we know? By the oil in the vessel, the oil in the soul. Amen? So, we've got a journey, we've got a promise. And there are precious promises, as the Bible says. There are precious promises, but there is a journey to be taken. there is a journey we need to take, and we need to double check. You know, in a, there are a few scriptures. One in James, I think it is James. James, somewhere, true, isn't it? And where is the word about the sea? Is it James 2? Did you find it there?
Can you see the seal?
No.